Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Kampala, where Uganda's French coach Sebastien Desabre has summoned a provisional squad to train ahead of next month's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Egypt. The 24-team African football jamboree begins June 21st and goes through July 19th. Ahmed Hussein, a spokesman for the Federation of Uganda Football Associations, FUFA, says it's important for players to start training early so they can blend. But some analysts worry some players were not called on merit. From Kampala, Magumi Davis Rakawinge filed this report.
Ahmed Hussein told the Sunny Side of Sports that a pool of 40 players will start training next week, from which the national team coach will select those to play at the AFCON finals.
It's a team that has got local best players. We believe the season has now come to a conclusion, especially the league, and with the cup competition coming up also in about 3 weeks' time. But it's good enough that the coach has come up with a squad that he wants to start with. The couple of foreign best players who have completed their seasons, they're also starting training on Monday, and so in preparation for the AFCON finals.
Star players like Farouk Mia, Emmanuel Okwi, are some of the absentees at the moment because of their club engagements. Hussein says some of the locally best players will be selected to play in the Council of Southern African Football Association or COSAFA tournament, where Uganda has been invited as a guest team.
As you're very much aware that Uganda will be taking part in the CHAN Championship qualifiers, and they will be playing against South Sudan late July. So it's important for them to also to get some playing time by taking part in a tournament that is of a magnitude like the COSAFA Championship in South Africa.
Sports analyst John Vianney Simbe, however, isn't excited by the criteria used to call up some players.
We keep calling players that are inactive. And I think when you call players to the national team who have not been playing football for some time, it's bound to catch up with you. And at the end of the day, you're going to pay the price for that. Because at the Nations Cup, there's no joking. You're going to find very competitive teams, very tough teams, very physical teams, and well-conditioned teams. If you have players that you're considering as the spine of the team when they are not playing, then for me, it beats my understanding about the level of professionalism that we exhibit.
Football journalist Hussein Kunambi Shen says both the government and the federation must get enough resources to motivate the players.
They should tell them the bonus is here. If we play, come out of the group stages, we go to the next chapter, there is this. If we leave round of 16, we go to the quarterfinals, there is this. It helps them boost up their morale. They need to know players have problems. We are Africans and we have problems. So the manager of the Uganda Cranes has to sit down with the players, know their issues back home.
Uganda is grouped alongside hosts Egypt, DR Congo, and Zimbabwe in Group A. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magume, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Cranes of Uganda will play their first Nations Cup match on June 22nd when they meet the Leopards of the Democratic Republic of Congo in Cairo, Egypt. The Ugandan Cranes are making their seventh appearance in African football's showpiece event. Their best Nations Cup performance was in 1978, when the Cranes finished runners-up to host Ghana.
My name is Amaji Marvin Penick, President of Nigerian Football Federation, First Vice President of CAF, and a member of the organizing committee for FIFA competitions. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Amaju Melvin Pinnock, for that big shout-out. The Nigeria Football Federation president is looking forward to his country's 18th Nations Cup appearance. The Super Eagles of Nigeria lifted the Nations Cup trophy in 1980, 1994, and 2013. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Amaju Pinnock said the Super Eagles have lined up two friendly international matches next month ahead of the Nations Cup.
We don't wait for tournaments before we engage in friendly games. Building the Super Eagles or rebuilding the Super Eagles is a continuing process. So we explore all FIFA available windows to engage our players and to explore them. Moving to AFCON, we have two games lined up, concluded, sealed. We'll be playing against Zimbabwe on the 8th of June in Asaba. At the moment, I'm on my way to Asaba to tidy up and concretize all the arrangements. Then we are flying directly from Asaba to Cairo, where we are going to be camped and again play a game against the number one rated team in Africa, Senegal. And then we go and play our first game and we continue in the AFCON. So the truth is, building the Super Eagles is not, there are a lot of young players. So building their confidence, getting them is something that we truly and really wants to continuously doing. It's not just a one-off thing, say, because we are preparing for a friend, you know. We even take that to the junior categories where every possible arrangement, we engage them in friendly games as a way of exposing them to greater things in football.
The issue of bonus round has stopped in the Super Eagles. Would like to know, what's the magic behind this?
We emphasize 100% on the players and de-emphasize every other thing, you know. So whatever we have, first we place it in front and say, they are the reason why we exist, so we must always take care of them. And trust me, some people don't like it. Oh, yeah, oh, they are fighting Pinnick, they don't like him in NFF. These are some of the issues because I stood firm and the executive committee, they are standing solidly behind me in this regard because it's all about the players. That's the truth. It's all about the players. We must emphasize on their welfare. We must emphasize they are happy. They now go on chartered flights to destinations of matches and we give them five-star treatment because it's a very potent motivational tool.
Are you optimistic of a good outing by the Super Eagles in AFCON 2019?
Yeah, our desire is for them to win the AFCON because we did attend the last two editions, so they will do very well by winning and lifting that trophy for Nigeria. And we pray that happens, you know. I'm not looking at anything less because, like I keep saying, if you have a child, the prayer you have for your child is for your child to be the best. And that's our prayer for the Super Eagles. And the good news is that we monitor them, we talk to them all the time. And they are very anxious. And they've been doing very well lately in their various clubs.
That's Amaju Pinnock, the president of the Nigeria Football Federation and first vice president of the Confederation of African Football, CAF. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua is training for his June 1st title defense against Andy Ruiz at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The 29-year-old Ruiz replaced Joshua's original opponent, Gerald Miller, after Miller failed three different tests for performance-enhancing drugs. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, who is Andy Ruiz?
Sonny, that's a very good question. Who is Andy Ruiz? Andy Ruiz is a Mexican-American heavyweight, and he has a 32-1 record with 21 big knockouts. When you look at him, you say, well, a heavyweight is supposed to be chiseled like Hercules, like Anthony Joshua. But he's 6'1", and he's 260 pounds, you know. But, Sonny, don't let that deceive you. He can fight. He has fast hands. He has never been knocked down. And go back and look at a fight with him and Joseph Parker. We believe he beat Joseph Parker. He was robbed. It's a very, very dangerous fight for homeboy. In the fight game, we say styles make fights. This is what's going to happen June 1, Madison Square Garden, New York City.
How much is Andy Ruiz getting paid to fight AJ?
Well, Sonny, remember, that's been the problem. A lot of people wanted $10 million. Luis Ortiz wanted $10 million. This guy wants $8 million. Because they know Anthony Joshua and his promoter, Eddie Hearn, were just their backs against the wall. Andy Ruiz is getting $4 million plus few things that break him up here and there. He goes back home with $5 million. You can laugh as much as you want. You can body shame him as much as you want. But June 3rd, which is a Monday, he'll be with his bank manager, whereby they put that check in the bank, and he'll be smiling to the bank. And that's what we call cash it out, Sonny. You know, fight fans are strange because the guy is not your normal tall, big, heavyweight, lanky dude. I would say, well, he's got a chin, he's got this, but he has never touched the canvas. He's got fast hands. If Anthony Joshua cannot use a solid jab, not just any jab, a solid jab to keep this guy outside, fight him from a distance. If he comes inside and stays in the body of Anthony Joshua, Sonny, remember what happened in Tokyo, Japan? Buster Douglas against Iron Mike Tyson. Buster Douglas was 40-1 underdog. This is the fight game. Anything can happen. This is not wrestling, Sonny. This cat is a Mexican, and Mexicans, they don't back up. He comes to fight. He just got a fifth round knockout right here in Los Angeles. He is in shape. He was not some lazy heavyweight laying down around and they call him, say, come and fight. He had just finished knocking out a guy right here. He is in shape.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.
I'm talking with Namdi Hollywood Moweta, our reigning prince of pugilistics.
It's funny. The question is, does Anthony Joshua really need this fight in the New York City? Did he really need to come to America to show anything, whereas he can do 80,000, 100,000 at Wembley? This is a dangerous fight. Everybody's saying, oh, it's going to be an easy fight. He's going to knock this small guy out. Well, I don't know about that, Sonny. Apart from Vladimir Klitschko, all the other guys after that, this is one fight that I know that he can be backed up. If he allows Andy Ruiz inside and Andy Ruiz stays inside, and then if this goes 12th round, there may be no legs, Sonny. We may have jello legs or spaghetti legs, man.
Did financial pressure keep this fight in New York City?
Yeah, that's a good question. 17,000 tickets were already sold. The venue sold out. 10,000 boxing fans coming in from the UK. Hotels have been booked. Airline tickets already bought. You can't refund all that. That's where they got themselves in a jam. I will have closed shop after Gerald Miller tested positive. I will have closed shop. Said, to hell with it. I'm back to the UK with my fighter. I don't need America. I keep saying it. If he looks really bad, Sonny, June 1, which I hope he doesn't. I mean, how do you break bread with Deontay Wilder or Tyson Fury? Everybody's going to laugh at you. Oh, they brought this small heavyweight from California and he just roughed you up. No. But if he catch Andy Ruiz coming in and knock him out in two or three rounds, then everybody's in good shape. But if he struggles or even tastes the canvas, man, that's going to have a big impact on negotiations moving forward.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You might say the first jewel of U.S. horse racing's Triple Crown was tarnished a bit after a very controversial ruling. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on that story, as well as a golf star honored here in Washington.
Nineteen horses thundered around the Churchill Downs track at the 145th Kentucky Derby in Louisville, the first jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown. The race appeared to be a wire-to-wire ride on a very wet and muddy track for undefeated Maximum Security.
There's one furlong to go! It's Maximum Security digging down deep Country House continues to close at the outside, but maximum security at the peak of perfection in the Kentucky Derby. Wins by two, Country House was second, Code of Honor was there, and the photo for third with Tessitus.
But then, track announcer Travis Stone quickly advised the massive crowd of more than 150,000.
Hold on tickets. There's a rider's objection in this race, and it concerns the top two finishers.
An objection was lodged by two riders who said maximum security had veered out of his path and illegally blocked other horses from a chance to overtake the leader at the finish. Three officials reviewed race video and, for the first time in Kentucky Derby history, took down the winner because of an infraction. Steward Barbara Borden explains.
We had a lengthy review of the race. We interviewed affected riders. We determined that the seven horse drifted out and impacted the progress of number one, in turn interfering with the 18 and 21. Therefore, we unanimously determined to disqualify number seven.
One other Kentucky Derby winner was disqualified, but days after the 1968 race over a drug scandal that remained shrouded in mystery 50 years later. With maximum security disqualified, Country House was declared the winner. At 65-1 odds of winning, the horse became the second longest shot ever to win, behind only the 91-1 Don Rail in 1913. The decision also gave Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott his first Kentucky Derby win in 10 entries over the course of 35 years.
You always want to win with a clean trip and have everybody recognize the horse as the very good horse and the great athlete that he is. I think due to the disqualification, probably some of that is diminished, but you know, this is horse racing.
Mott says he had much more confidence in Country House compared to what the odds makers thought.
I've been telling people all winter, you know, that if this horse ever wakes up and figures out really what he's doing, the mile and a quarter of the Kentucky Derby is certainly within his reach, and not to discount him. And we were right today. I mean, he showed up. He showed up in a big way.
People who wagered on Country House received a big return. While Mott was happy his horse won, he understands others who placed bets likely were not happy with how the results unfolded.
People bet on these races. There's millions of dollars that are bet, and there are some people that bet on the two horses that got bothered, and they had no chance to get a placing. And I know the stewards had a very, very difficult decision. I mean, I'm glad I wasn't in their shoes. I'm glad I didn't have to make the decision in front of over 100,000 people and the millions of people that are watching this on TV and around the world.
26-year-old Country House jockey Flavien Prat from France was riding in his third Kentucky Derby.
It's amazing. I mean, there's no race like the Kentucky Derby, and I always, you know, was hoping to one day ride the Derby and to win it, and well, it's done today. So I'm really happy and blessed.
Pratt liked how Country House ran.
He was traveling really well the entire race. Once I got him outside and I started to make my move, well, the maximum security kind of drift out and kind of turn us sideways. The two horse inside of me had a lot of more trouble than I did, but it affected me anyway.
Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott knows this race will be one that's talked about and replayed on television for years to come.
They'll be speaking about the result of this race from now until they run the next Kentucky Derby and the next 10 Kentucky Derbies and 20 Kentucky Derbies. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this race shows up on TV and, you know, over and over and over.
Amid the controversy is one certainty. There will be no Triple Crown winner this year. Country Home has been pulled out of the Preakness race in Baltimore for health reasons. Another week, another sports moment at the White House.
It is my privilege to award our nation's highest civilian honor to one of the greatest athletes in the history of sports, Tiger Woods.
President Trump bestowed the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Woods.
For over five decades, the Presidential Medal of Freedom has been given to individuals who have made outstanding contributions to American life, history, and culture. This evening, we are in the presence of a true legend, an extraordinary athlete who has transformed golf and achieved new levels of dominance. He's also a great person. He's a great guy.
Trump said Woods has been an American inspiration.
Tiger introduced countless new people to the sport of golf from every background and from every walk of life. He inspired millions of young Americans with his thrilling wire-to-wire victories. Tiger Woods is a global symbol of American excellence, devotion, and drive.
And for the next 11 minutes, President Trump detailed Tiger Woods' amazing career achievements and battle through physical adversity. Woods recently made perhaps the most extraordinary comeback in sports history with his fifth win at the Masters, the first major golf tournament of the season.
The amazing Masters experience that I just had a few weeks ago, certainly it's part of the highlight of what I've accomplished so far in my life on the golf course.
Woods was happy to receive the honor after three of golf's best players.
This is an honor. I know that I'm the fourth golfer to have received this award. The late Arnold Palmer, the great Jack Nicklaus, and Charlie Sifford, who is, I always called him Grandpa because he was like the grandpa I never had. And I end up becoming so close with him that I end up naming my son Charlie after him. So to have been chosen as the next golfer after Charlie is truly remarkable.
Truly remarkable, as is the ongoing golf career of Tiger Woods.
Tiger, congratulations on receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Thank you.
Put your hands together for Presidential Medal of Freedom recipient Tiger Woods. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Friday night when the Houston Rockets host the defending champion Golden State Warriors in Game 6 of their series. It's must-win for the Rockets, who trail 3-2. The Warriors traveled to Houston without their superstar big man, Kevin Durant, who injured his calf muscle in Game 5. KD will be reevaluated next week, meaning if there's a decisive Game 7 in the series on Sunday, Durant will miss that game too. Kevin Durant is the leading scorer in the NBA playoffs, averaging more than 34 points a game. The winner of the Warriors-Rockets series will play the winner of the Portland-Denver series in the Western Conference Finals. The host Portland Trail Blazers forced a decisive Game 7 by beating the Denver Nuggets on Thursday night, 119-108. Also Thursday night, the Philadelphia 76ers won at home, beating the Toronto Raptors 112-101 to also force a decisive Game 7. The winner of the Philadelphia-Toronto series will play the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Those decisive Game 7s in both the Portland-Denver series and the Philadelphia-Toronto series will be played on Sunday in Denver and Toronto, respectively. Now, Philadelphia's Cameroonian star Joel Embiid has not been at full strength in the playoffs. Joel has been dealing with a bad left knee and a stomach ailment, but he was on the court for 35 minutes Thursday night and tallied 17 points and 12 rebounds. Jimmy Butler led Philadelphia with 25 points. And that wraps up the May 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Joe Gill. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Host Carol Castiel interviews Nancy Lindborg, President of the United States Institute of Peace, to discuss USIP's mission, research regarding a strategy to prevent the spread of extremism around the world, and the vital role of women in the successful conflict resolution negotiations. Listen this Saturday and Sunday to Press Conference USA on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Eating a lot of certain foods may put you at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease. But a couple of new studies say when you eat could also affect your heart health. A new study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology provides further evidence that missing breakfast puts you at an increased risk of death due to heart disease. Another study of patients who were recently discharged from a hospital after being treated for a heart attack takes mealtimes a step further. Published in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, the study suggests heart attack patients who skipped breakfast and ate dinner right before bedtime were also 4 to 5 times more likely to die, have another heart attack, or experience angina. Study authors suggested at least a 2-hour break between dinner and bedtime. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
On the next edition of Encounter, we'll examine the current situation in Libya, where an opposition force is challenging a UN-recognized government. Ambassador Jonathan Weiner from the Middle East Institute and Graham Bannerman from the Middle East Institute and U.S. Institute of Peace joins guest host and VOA senior analyst Jeffrey Young for the discussion. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News.